And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand. If you can't catch our show live in your favorite podcast app, just search for the Nick Craig Show, tap the subscribe or follow button, and you'll get a new program delivered each and every weekday morning. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by Melissa Gott and the amazing team over at the Law Group here in Wilmington. Reach out to them for any legal challenges across Eastern North Carolina. Lawgroupnc.com is their website. More from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, unfortunately, we start off the show once again this morning with incredible amounts of negative attention on a city in North Carolina. And that's the news, the topic this morning takes us to the Queen City, our state's largest city in Charlotte. You'll remember back about 3 months or so ago that the city of Charlotte was under an immense amount of scrutiny and pressure and criticism after a 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee who left her home country of Ukraine, obviously a war going on there, to immigrate legally as a refugee following the process to come to the United States to try and, well, I guess the most basic term, save her life and try and to start a new one, unfortunately, at 23 years old. Her name, Irina Zaruska. You're very familiar with that name at this point. She was assimilating to society, which seems to be a huge problem nowadays, which, you know, I'm trying not to get sidetracked by this. But it's just amazing when you listen to the left and listen to Democrats and these wacko progressives talk about immigration, how there's just never any discussion about assimilation, never any discussion about trying to become a part of America, become an American, fit in with American society with, you know, mass illegal immigration through our U.S.-Mexico border. Yet you've got a person like Irina Zaruska, who came to the United States as an immigrant, was working, was just weeks away from getting her driver's license, going through the process of getting her driver's license, was assimilating to American society, had a boyfriend here in the U.S., doing everything right, being a productive, useful member of society, not being a gangbanger, not milking off the U.S. taxpayer, not milking off the North Carolina taxpayer, sitting home all day, collecting government benefits and government entitlements because she came from a war-torn country, being a useful, productive member of society. And for that, she was brutally stabbed in the neck by DeCarlos Brown Jr., a 35-year-old, 15-time repeat convict, who was suffering from severe mental issues, bipolar, whatever the hell, issues mentally, was well known by law enforcement, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department, was well known by the judicial system in Charlotte because he had been in and out of jail, in and out of prison a variety of times for a whole bunch of different crimes. And he decided back in August that he was going to stab this 23-year-old girl in the neck, literally slice her neck open on the Charlotte light rail and leave her for dead, which is exactly what he did. Irina Zaruska brutally murdered on the Charlotte light rail for absolutely no reason whatsoever. The literal definition of just happening to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And the irony in all of it, she was coming home from her job. Unlike DeCarlos Brown Jr., who was a homeless bum, milking the system, not adding anything to society at all, Irina Zaruska was coming home from her job, in which she worked part-time at a pizza shop in Charlotte. Coming home from her job, her life was taken from her, as her neck was literally sliced open. I'm sorry to be graphic, but it's important to understand what's going on here. As her neck was sliced open on a Charlotte light rail, she bled out and died. So that happened less than 3 months ago. So we turn our attention once again to the wonderful city of Charlotte, North Carolina, which had a major election back just a little over 1 month ago, where Democrat Mayor Vi Lyles handedly won her election there. Republicans had an awful night on the council. Krista Bakari lost, got blown out in her election. Edwin Peacock, who was currently on council, got killed in his election. Just a terrible night. There's now one Republican on the Charlotte City Council, no Republicans on the Mecklenburg County Commission. Folks, you've heard me say this if you've been a longtime follower of me back on the radio days here in Wilmington. A phrase I used a lot was these Democrat progressive hellholes. That's what Charlotte, North Carolina is, unfortunately, right now. I don't say that with any joy. I don't say it with a smile. I'm not happy to say that to you this morning. I host a one-hour radio show every single morning in the city of Charlotte. I have thousands of people that listen to me across Charlotte each and every morning. I like the city of Charlotte. It's an absolutely phenomenal metro. Brings a lot to the state of North Carolina, one of the banking capitals of the country. Huge entertainment area, explosive growth, huge tech sector. It's a great area. But like everything else that we see, Democrats have taken almost complete and total control at this point. I mean, I say almost because there's still one Republican on the Charlotte City Council. He ran unopposed in his election back in November of this year, November of 2025. So there's one Republican between two governing bodies controlling Mecklenburg County, which is the city where the city of Charlotte is located, and the city of Charlotte. One Republican. Everything else exclusively, completely controlled, and for all intents and purposes, complete and total control by the left. Complete and total control by Democrats. And this is not, to me, when we have these conversations and I break this stuff down, I'm not just giving you some BS opinion. I'm not just telling you that I'm pissed off about something. No, folks, we've got very clear documented evidence as to what happens when cities, large cities like Charlotte, like San Francisco, like Oakland, like Chicago, like Los Angeles, like New York City, the list goes on and on and on. We have very clear evidence to back up what happens when those that have a very progressive ideological bend have complete and total control. Cities and areas, states, I mean, you can look at almost the entire state of California under Gavin Newsom, almost the entire state of New York under Kathy Hochul. It's a freaking disaster. It's like the movie that you've seen the ending to 100 times. We know how this ends. We know what the end result is. And again, I don't take any glee in saying that to you because we know what's going to happen. We know that crime will be out of control. We know that taxes will continue to soar. We know that the quality of public service at the exact same time will plummet. Why? Because Democrats in charge in these municipalities, Democrats in charge of these areas like Charlotte, frankly, don't care. They don't care. And we're going to hear from a whole bunch of them. We're going to hear from Vi Lyles. We're going to hear from our illustrious governor and Josh Stein. It's all words. They have no meaning to me. I don't put stock in any statement, any public address, any press conference. I don't believe a freaking word that comes out of these people's mouths. And justifiably, they have not earned the trust for me to believe when they talk about public safety that they actually care about it. Governor Josh Stein, Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles, the Charlotte City Council, the Mecklenburg County Commission, they can preach public safety all they want. I'm looking at action. I'm looking at what is being done to actually, work on something like public safety, which turns out is a pretty big deal for a lot of people. I know, shocker for you to hear. It's just as big of a shock for me. People don't want to live in a community. People don't want to live in an area where it's unsafe. People don't want to feel threatened going to work. People don't want to feel threatened leaving their house. People don't want to feel threatened going out to dinner. So supporting local small businesses on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, going out and having dinner, hanging out with friends. Turns out if you don't feel safe in an area doing that, you don't go to that area. So what happens? Well, then you see the businesses close up shop, close their doors. That's a pretty logical conclusion. You no longer have a clientele. You no longer have shoppers. You no longer have diners that can provide your business. You're not selling anything. There's nobody in there. It's a ghost town. We saw examples of this out in San Francisco over the last couple of years. A lot of it was sparked and spearheaded by COVID. And then coming out of COVID, the city was like a freaking zombie movie. I mean, got guys with heroin needles in their arms roaming around downtown San Francisco, roaming around the public transportation system in San Francisco. What was the end result? We saw major chains, major stores, CVS, Walgreens, closing their shops. Why? Because they couldn't get anybody to work there. Why? Because they had the Democrats that control the state of California, the Democrats that controlled the San Francisco City Council, made it essentially legal to shoplift. So you had these stores getting looted essentially on a daily basis. They couldn't do anything about it, couldn't press charges, couldn't call the police. There was nothing to respond to. These stores had their insurance carriers say, we're not going to insure you for theft. We're not going to insure any sort of loss prevention at your store because things are just walking out of the store all day, every day. That's not a beneficial position for the insurance company. So they cancel their coverage. Nobody wants to work there because you've got to fight with homeless guys with heroin needles sticking out of their arms to get to work. So what happens? The shops close. The doors get locked and the business closes. This wasn't even just mom and pop. This was major national brands that shuttered their operations in some of the core areas of San Francisco because it was, A, not safe for their employees. You couldn't get anybody to work there. And two, it was no longer an opportunity where a business could operate. I mean, there's no business in the world that can operate with rampant lawlessness in terms of shoplifting. It's just, it's not feasible. It's not possible. Your insurance isn't going to cover it. And you can't afford as a business to just write off thousands of dollars worth of merchandise walking out of your store every day because it's legal to leave with $500, $600, $700 worth of stuff. You put it into your shopping cart and you just walk right out the door. Nobody's going to say anything to you. The police will not respond to it. That is the situation that Democrats have created in a place like San Francisco. And I'm not going on a tirade on San Francisco this morning, but I bring this up because, again, we've seen this movie before. We have very clear examples, very clear evidence as to what happens when lawlessness is allowed to proliferate in a major, large metropolitan area, in this case, like the city of Charlotte, Mecklenburg County, which, again, hosts the city of Charlotte. We know how this happens. We know what the end result is. It's not a surprise. It's not a shock. So this takes us to Friday night in the Queen City, right around 5 p.m. One person was seriously injured after a stabbing. This happened on the Charlotte Light Rail system, the Blue Line, which is the exact same train system in which Irina Zaruska was brutally killed, stabbed in the neck in Charlotte back in August. So you've got another person getting seriously injured on a stabbing on the Charlotte Light Rail system. Law enforcement responded to the call, as you would expect them to do, and they found a person with stab wounds who was taken to the hospital, listed in critical condition. We have not seen any additional updates from law enforcement on the status of that individual since Friday. So we know that they were rushed to the hospital, serious critical injuries. No update as of right now. Presumably and hopefully they've stabilized, but that's the latest that we know right now. We'll probably learn more throughout the day. Fortunately, there once like the Irina Zaruska story, the killer is in, or the assailant is more accurate to say in this case, is in custody. Charlotte Mecklenburg police identified the suspect as 33-year-old Oscar Solanzaro Gonzalez. He was arrested by officers shortly after the stabbing happened and is charged with a litany of crimes: attempted first-degree murder, assault with a deadly weapon inflicting serious injury, breaking and entering a motor vehicle, carrying a concealed weapon, as well as being intoxicated and disruptive. So he was on the Charlotte light rail in a verbal altercation with somebody, drunk, disruptive, carrying a knife. The altercation, I guess, got a little bit out of control, and this 33-year-old decided that it was his prerogative to stab somebody and attempt to kill them, right? You don't just stab somebody, right? I'm not a criminal, but I would presume if you're trying to stab somebody, your intention would be to either seriously injure or, in most cases, kill them. I think that's a pretty safe, pretty fair assumption to make this morning. I mean, he's been charged with attempted first-degree murder, so obviously the judicial system in Mecklenburg County believes that that's the case too. That's why attempted first degree murder is on here. And the story gets even better. In court records, a magistrate noted that the 33-year-old is an illegal alien who had been previously deported from the United States. Boy, ain't that just the damnedest story for those on the political left. And the fact that this is happening in Charlotte, where over the last couple of weeks, we've had to listen to Democrats like Vi Lyles, Democrats like Josh Stein, Anderson Clayton, the jackass that's head of the North Carolina Democrat Party, bitching and complaining about Customs and Border Protection and bitching about how federal law enforcement is out on the streets in Charlotte and they're targeting people based on their race and illegal immigration isn't an issue. Trump is a fascist. Republicans are racist. You guys are destroying the fabric of our society. For a week, we had to hear that from Vi Lyles, from Josh Stein, from Democrats all up and down the state of North Carolina. There's no problem here at all. Illegal immigration, no issue whatsoever. No problem at all. Now, here we are this morning, where you've got a twice deported illegal immigrant stabbing and attempting to kill somebody on the Charlotte light rail. So tell me once again how illegal immigration isn't a problem. Tell me once again how the right, how terrible we are on the right for having this concern over illegal immigration. Bill Malugin, if that name sounds familiar to you, he works at Fox News. He was one of the, he's now in Washington, D.C., but during the Biden administration, Bill Malugin was the guy in the front lines of the U.S.-Mexico border when every other media outlet across the country, or the vast majority of them, didn't talk about illegal immigration, didn't cover it. You'll probably remember if you were watching Fox at that time, Bill Malugin there day in and day out, all day, every day, flying around the Fox drone, talking to individuals, talking to the Customs and Border Protection, talking to Border Patrol, talking to ICE, hell, even talking to some of the individuals who had illegally come into the country. Almost every single day, Bill Malugin was on the front line. So he was tracking down some of the information on this, and he put out this post on social media on Saturday. This was the day after the stabbing happened on the Charlotte light rail. He writes, "New. DHS, that's the Department of Homeland Security, confirms to Fox News that the suspect accused of stabbing a man on the Charlotte light rail yesterday is a two-time previously deported Honduran illegal alien with a lengthy criminal history in the United States." Is that what we're looking for here? You know, you constantly have to listen to the gaslighting from those on the political left about how immigrants raise our community, about how this country was built on immigrants, and how dare you have any concerns, how dare you have any questions, how dare you have any criticism. Is this what they're talking about? A two-time deported Honduran illegal alien with a lengthy criminal history in the United States? And, you know, this is what really gets me about this whole discussion over immigration. And again, I'm, you know, one of the things I try and shy away from is trying to use logic to describe an illogical situation. Hear me out on this. And I have this conversation with people a lot. You can't attribute logic, which is what I would use, what you would use to try and work through a situation like this. You can't use logic to describe or problem solve or troubleshoot an illogical situation. It just doesn't work. It doesn't equate. And with the stance of many of those on the political left that unfettered illegal immigration into the United States not only is happening, but should happen, is completely and totally illogical. There's nothing logical about it in any way, shape, or form. Of course, many of those on the political right, and I would argue, we've looked at the polling before, I'm not going to pull it up again this morning, we've talked about it ad nauseum. Just even, was it last week, I think, on the show? 2 weeks ago? Looked at some political polling just days before the 2024 presidential election. And we saw a very continued theme. And we looked at polls from all over the place. I think we looked at a Fox News poll, a Washington Post poll, and I believe an NBC News poll is what we looked at, plus the Carolina Journal poll here in North Carolina. So four different polls, one here in North Carolina, Fox, okay, conservative outlet, Washington Post, left-wing rag, and NBC News, just exactly the same. And all four of those polls showed that illegal immigration was a top issue, a top one or two issue for voters when they were setting and at that point getting ready to make their way to a ballot box in November of 2024. So it's not some weird straw man argument. This is not just my thought on illegal immigration. The polling data, and I would even argue the results of last November's election, November of 24 I'm talking about, would absolutely back up the assertion that illegal immigration was and continues to be a major problem across the United States. So back to the Bill Malusian post. Two-time, previously deported, Honduran illegal alien with a lengthy criminal history in the United States. Oscar Solanzaro Garcia was deported by the Trump administration in March of 2018 on a deportation order. So that's ordered by a judge, an immigration court. He then illegally re-entered the United States at the Texas border in March of 2021. So that is during the Biden administration, early on in the Biden administration, when you started seeing this begin. When many folks, myself included, I just started my radio show in Wilmington at that time, right around March of 2021. Just started that, started raising the alarm, started saying, hey, hold on a second here. We've got a problem going on at that exact same time. This is the catcher. He was deported a second time by the Biden administration when it's not immediately clear, but sometime between March of 2021 and the end of 2024, and then illegally re-entered a third time. Re-entered at an unknown time and unknown location as a gotaway. Which, if you were following this illegal immigration discussion over the last couple of years, gotaways are individuals that did not cross into the United States, most prominently on the U.S.-Mexico border, individuals that crossed into the United States outside of a legal port of entry. There are legal entry points sprung kind of throughout the U.S.-Mexico border. I don't know what's there. 7 or 10 of them or something like that. If you're trying to migrate into the United States, you go through a legal port of entry, you're processed, you're either allowed in or you're turned back away. I mean, that's the process. But for Oscar Solanzano Garcia, he obviously knew that he would not be allowed back in the United States, maybe because he has a lengthy criminal record here in the country, the country of which, right, he's trying to get a better life. This is what you always hear from the bleeding heart liberals. These individuals have no opportunity. They have no choice. They come from hellhole countries. They come from broken governments. They're just trying to make their way to the United States to build up a better life. They're just trying to come to the United States to do better for their family. I have sympathy for that situation. Absolutely. I do. But this doesn't seem to add up here. If you're trying to build a better life for yourself, if you're truly trying to escape some of the awful atrocities that exist in countries all over the globe, why the hell would you come to the United States and act as a criminal? His prior convictions, according to Bill Malusian, his prior convictions in the United States are for robbery and illegal reentry, as well as aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, resisting arrest, and false ID. Is that trying to build a better life for yourself? You're coming to the United States. I got to make sure I understand this. You're coming to the United States of America. You're not from here. You're not even, hell, you're not even going through the legal process to come here. But you're trying to do this to build a better life for yourself, to provide for your family, to escape maybe the war-torn country or the gang-controlled country in which you live. So you assimilate to the United States, either legally or illegally, and you're robbing people in the U.S., you're committing aggravated battery, you're resisting law enforcement, and you're stealing people's identity. What part of that makes the United States a better country? Because that's always the argument from those on the political left, right? Immigrants built this country. Immigrants did this. Immigrants did that. Look, I'm just using this one guy as an example. What part of him being in the United States made any facet of our society, any facet of our life better? What part of it? Stealing from people, whether it was a store or from an individual, robbing somebody? Does that make the United States a better place? Does that make your city a better place? Aggravated battery? Does that help make your community more prosperous? Resisting arrest? Giving the middle finger to law enforcement? Again, you're illegally in the freaking United States, right? So you're already not supposed to be here. You're resisting arrest. You're stealing somebody's ID. Oh, and to add on top of this, this is his old criminal rap sheet. His new criminal rap sheet includes attempted first-degree murder, assault with a deadly weapon inflicting serious injury, breaking and entering to a motor vehicle, carrying a concealed weapon. Oh, and to really add the icing on the cake, he was drunk at the time that he decided he was going to stab somebody on the Charlotte light rail. So we've got the full picture of this individual. Deported from the United States twice, re-entered two additional times, had entered the United States illegally three different times, and now decides in the country in which he's trying to assimilate to, right? Trying to build a better life for himself, for his family, for his friends. He's stabbing somebody on the Charlotte light rail? Really? And I'm supposed to just erase everything I believe? I'm supposed to not have an opinion on this whatsoever? I'm supposed to just jump to the mindset that there's no problem with illegal immigration? There's no problem with dangerous, hardened criminals coming to the United States? Giving the bird to you, me, everybody else across this country and the nation as a whole by consistently breaking federal immigration law to enter the United States? But I'm not allowed to have an opinion on that. You're not allowed to have an opinion on that. If you do, according to those on the political left, you are a racist, you are a bigot, you are a fascist. That's what I've heard over the last couple of weeks as Customs and Border Protection arrested more than 425 people throughout the city of Charlotte as part of Operation Charlotte's Web. You're not allowed to have that opinion. You are not allowed to voice those concerns. You are not allowed to voice those thoughts in any way, shape, or form. We're just supposed to sit here, be quiet, mind our own business, and not bring up the fact that cities like Charlotte are being destroyed by dangerous repeat offenders, dangerous criminals, and now illegal immigrants. We're not supposed to say anything about that at all. we're not supposed to have that discussion. Why? Because it doesn't fit the narrative. Because it doesn't bolster the point that those on the political left want to beat into the head of every single American. That you're not allowed to criticize these people. You're not allowed to have any opinions on migration, whether it's illegal or legal immigration. You're not allowed to have that conversation because they find it highly offensive. I think the bigger issue is they know they're on the losing side of the argument. Data, polling data would back that up, and the 2024 election would back that up pretty clearly as well. It is another 80-20 losing political issue for the left, and so they try and keep it out of the public sphere as much as possible. Because they don't have a defense. What are they going to say? They want Oscar Solenzano Garcia in the United States? The 33-year-old who had illegally come into the country 3 times and stabbed somebody on the light rail on Friday? What are they going to say? What's the defense?
Homie, he grew up in Honduras.
He grew up in a broken family. War-torn country. Grew up in poverty. Okay. So, because of those conditions, you get a free pass to come to the United States and stab somebody? I mean, is that that's the barrier to entry at this point? That's a really, really, really bad road to head down. We don't handle any other facet of our society like that. We sure as hell shouldn't handle illegal immigration like that. So the left has no answer. They have no defense of this. And so the only solution is, we're just going to call you a racist and a bigot and an authoritarian. We'll call you those terms and hopefully that shuts you up. Hopefully you don't talk about the issue anymore. I think the American people have heard and seen enough on this over the last couple of years, and that's just not going to happen. I mean, it's not going to happen with me. You're not going to throw around these words and these phrases to try and push me off the topic, push me off the issue. It's just not going to happen. The American people are sick and fed up of watching this unfold while it did, the media, those on the political left, ignoring the issue while it happened under the Biden administration, having nothing to say about it up until the final days of the Biden admin. Nothing to say at all. It wasn't a problem. Wasn't happening. Now we, of course, are paying the price for those actions. You've heard me say it a million times. Actions have consequences. And the consequence, or the consequence to allowing millions upon millions of people into the United States illegally is you are going to have individuals that are violent, dangerous criminals roaming the streets of our cities, in this case, Charlotte, North Carolina, just 3 hours down the road here from Wilmington, the state's largest city, that are committing crimes and putting U.S. citizens, citizens of North Carolina, citizens of the city of Charlotte, putting them and their lives at risk. What the hell are we doing? We'll get into some additional comments. President Donald Trump chiming in on this early on in the situation. Congressman Mark Harris was on Fox News. We'll get some BS platitudes from Governor Josh Stein, Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles, the head of the CAT system. We'll hear all of those on the political left talk about this issue. None of them, I'll give you a little warning, none of them will mention that this was an illegal immigrant that did this, of course, because it doesn't fit the narrative. But we'll hear how much they care about public safety and safety and security coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But before that, I want to let you know that the Nick Craig Show is only made possible thanks to the good folks over at the Law Group here in Wilmington. And I want to let you know that when legal challenges arise, put your trust in the Law Group. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating a real estate transaction, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. For any legal challenges across southeastern North Carolina, reach out to Melissa Gott and the team over at the Law Group, 910-251-6088 or lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. We'll grab a quick break and continue as an illegal immigrant is in custody this morning being held on no bond after stabbing somebody in the neck Friday night on the Charlotte light rail system. We'll continue that conversation coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll get to your comments as well as the Nick Craig Show rolls on a Monday morning, streaming live 7 a.m. YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for spending some time with us, whether you join the show live each and every weekday morning or listen after the fact on your own time via podcast. Appreciate you being here and appreciate your support. All right, we are continuing our discussion this morning on another miserable situation in the city of Charlotte on Friday as an individual right around 5 p.m. was stabbed on the Charlotte light rail. Yes, the same Charlotte light rail in which Irina Zaruska had her life taken from her back less than 3 months ago. And the kicker in all of this is the individual that has been arrested, has been charged in this case, is a 33-year-old Honduran illegal alien who had been deported from the United States twice. So entered three times, right? Entered one time, deported. Entered another time, deported again, then entered a third time, and then just stabbed somebody on the Charlotte light rail on Friday. So has entered the United States, not clear whether the first entry was illegal or not, but has entered the United States at least illegally twice, maybe even three times. Decided that it was in his best interest to stab somebody on the Charlotte light rail on Friday. Great idea. Phenomenal idea. Let's just stab somebody on the Charlotte light rail. Some sort of verbal altercation. The guy was drunk at the time, and so he decided it was his prerogative to stab somebody. President Donald Trump commented on the situation pretty quickly after it unfolded, saying, "Another stabbing by an illegal immigrant in Charlotte, North Carolina. What's going on in Charlotte? Democrats are destroying it like everything else, piece by piece." And, you know, to really highlight the point here that President Trump is making, he says Democrats are destroying it, talking about the city of Charlotte like everything else, piece by piece. Folks, this is exactly what I was just talking about. How we have a very clear track record. We have a very clear history of what happens when cities like Charlotte are exclusively controlled by those on the political left. This stuff not only starts to happen, but it continues and it gets worse day by day. Look at San Francisco. Look at Oakland, California. Look at Chicago. Look at St. Louis. Look at New York City. The list can go on and on and on. And there's one uniform factor in all of these places. Almost exclusive, not in every case, but almost exclusive control by those on the political left. And Charlotte falls right into that framework. There is one Republican between the Mecklenburg County Commission and the Charlotte City Council. There is one, count them, one Republican. Everything else, every other position held by Democrats. And so that is where it's trending. And it's, you know, on Friday, if you didn't catch Friday's show, I'd encourage you to take a listen to it. We talked about the changes coming to the Wilmington City Council. It is now a 7-0 Democrat-controlled council. And so when people say, I've got a concern with a completely Democrat-controlled board, this is the reason why. This is what they're afraid of, is Wilmington becoming the next Charlotte, becoming the next Durham, becoming the next Asheville, becoming the next Raleigh, where you have no diversity of opinion at all, and you see a race to the bottom in terms of policies. And a lot of it has to do with law enforcement. Soft on crime policies that Democrats push in every area that they have control of. They don't believe in law and order. They don't believe in holding individuals responsible for their actions. Don't take my word for it. Let's, again, go back to Irina Zaruska, who was stabbed in the neck by DeCarlos Brown Jr. He'd been arrested 15 freaking times in Charlotte. 15 times. In the span of just a couple of years. Most individuals are not arrested at all in their entire lives. The vast majority of people will never have a run-in with law enforcement that is so severe that they get arrested. and you've got DeCarlos Brown Jr., who was arrested 15 times. Arrested, released, arrested, released, arrested, released. And the list goes on and on and on to the point that he's out on the streets. He's dealing with a severe mental issue. And what does he do? One fateful night, he decides he's going to stab somebody in the neck on the Charlotte light rail. For what reason? We're probably never going to know because he's so mentally deranged. That when folks on the right talk about soft on crime policies, we're talking about people like DeCarlos Brown Jr., who should not, by any estimation, been roaming the streets of the city of Charlotte. Yet he was, and it led to a 23-year-old girl losing her life for absolutely no reason whatsoever. Did not even talk to the guy. Was sitting in front of him with her earphones in, coming home from work, minding her own business. That's what she was doing. And her life was taken for no reason whatsoever. Miserable, miserable situation. And it is allowed to proliferate in communities like Charlotte, because they don't believe that criminals should be held responsible for their actions. Plain and simple. I don't know any other way to put it. And I don't think that's an exaggeration at all. You can't tell me that you believe in public safety. You can't tell me you believe in law and order when you are going to allow somebody like that roaming your streets. You just can't tell me that's the case. I will not ever believe you. And I shouldn't believe you. It just makes no sense whatsoever. Here's Governor Josh Stein, of all people, another Democrat here in North Carolina. He commented on the situation Friday night, posting on X. I just spoke with Chief Patterson about the horrific stabbing on the light rail this evening. Please join me in praying for the full recovery of the victim. I am pleased that Chief Patterson was already surging law enforcement throughout Charlotte with Operation Safe Season, and I am grateful to state law enforcement agencies that are assisting the operation. Public safety is a top priority for all of us. I call complete BS on this statement from Governor Stein, and we'll hear the exact same platitudes from Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles. Public safety is not a top priority for Josh Stein. It is not the top priority for the Mecklenburg County Commission or the Charlotte City Council. It's not. If it was, then in the immediate aftermath, which we still are in, of Irina Zarutska getting murdered, there would have been a police officer or a security guard on the train in Charlotte on Friday night. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? There wasn't. It has been less than 3 months since she was killed. Since international news was talking about her death. And we heard in the aftermath of that, we heard the same crap from people like Josh Stein. Public safety is a priority. We need to do everything we can to keep people safe. Blah, 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 blah. Put a freaking cop on the Charlotte light rail then. Put a security guard on every portion of the Charlotte light rail. You've got a multi-million-dollar-a-year budget for law enforcement. Put them on the freaking train cars. I mean, this is not a complicated task, folks. If there's a concern over growing violence on the Charlotte light rail, then put somebody on the freaking trains. I mean, gee, you don't need to be a freaking public safety expert to know that that's obviously a quick solution. Put somebody on the trains. But no. That would be a show of force. That would be a bridge too far for the Charlotte City Council. That would be a bridge too far for CATS, the Charlotte Area Transportation System, that is responsible for running the Charlotte light rail, that receives hundreds of millions of dollars from the Charlotte City Council and the Mecklenburg County Commission to operate at a loss each and every year. That would be way too far for them to go. We know that there is a problem that can be on here. Somebody was just brutally murdered on this same system 3 months ago, which brought so much negative attention, so much negative coverage to the city of Charlotte. Maybe we should do something about it. But no, that would just be way, 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 way too far. So let's hear from Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles. Let's see what she had to say in the immediate aftermath. Everyone deserves to be and feel safe in our city, and there is no room for violence in our community. We have invested heavily in increasing security on the transit system, and CMPD, that's the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department, has been proactive in increasing its presence across our city, including announcing a new multi-agency effort this week. There are several aspects of public safety that are outside of the city's jurisdiction, including immigration policy and enforcement, but we will continue to focus on public safety and ensuring a safe and vibrant community. If you were a resident of Charlotte, of which I will note I'm not, but if you were a resident of Charlotte, would you believe the words out of Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles' mouth? That they've invested heavily in increasing security? If so, where the hell were they? This stabbing happened between two different stations, and the individual, the illegal migrant who was in the country, was arrested at the next stop because that's when law enforcement got on the train. So I'm just going to push back on this and say, no, you obviously have not invested heavily enough in increasing security on the transit system. If you had, then there's a very strong possibility that this situation wouldn't have unfolded the way that it did. I can't guarantee it. I'm not going to sit here this morning and tell you that there's no way this would have happened. I'm not saying that. I don't know that to be the case. I like to speak in fact. But I think that there is a strong possibility that this situation doesn't unfold the way that it did on Friday night had either private security or sworn law enforcement been on that car on the Charlotte light rail. I think that's a pretty fair guess. You're probably, maybe you are still, but you're probably not going to stab somebody on the Charlotte light rail when there's a cop 11 feet from you. When there's private security 11 feet from you, you're probably not going to do that. Maybe you still are, but probably not. That's just my gut reaction to it. Lauren Newton, who is the attorney for Irina Zarutska's family, also commented on this as well, saying, "The fact that there was another stabbing on the light rail committed by someone who had apparently been banned continues to show that there is no fair enforcement on our light rail system. Clearly, security is still lacking to protect our citizen riders of public transportation." And you know what's happened since Irina's murder earlier this year? The rate of individuals using public transportation throughout Charlotte has plummeted. Why might that be the case? Is it possibly and probably the fact that individuals don't want to risk losing their lives riding the Charlotte light rail? That individuals are concerned they may become the victim of a heinous act, a heinous crime? Probably. Again, I'll go back to what I was mentioning earlier. If you feel unsafe in an area, whether it's a downtown area, whether it's where you live, that's not a good situation. Nobody wants to be in that situation where they genuinely feel unsafe. And if you do, you will probably do everything in your power to remove yourself from that situation. Plain and simple. You're just not. I mean, the human instinct is not telling you, oh yeah, we need to be in an area where things could be dangerous. Oh yeah, we want to be in an area where we risk severe bodily harm. Nobody would willingly put themselves in that situation over and over and over again. So you've seen ridership plummet on the Charlotte light rail and on other CATS transportation systems in the months following Irina's murder. Here's the interim CEO of CATS, the Charlotte Area Transportation System. "We are disappointed that a verbal altercation escalated to the point of a stabbing incident on the Blue Line train Friday evening." Huh. Now you're disappointed. No shit. Through close collaboration between CATS private security teams, PSS, and the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department, a suspect was apprehended swiftly following the incident. Since August, CATS, together with our partners, have taken proactive and robust approaches to keeping employees and passengers as safe as possible by deploying additional off-duty CMPD officers, private security personnel, new technology, and safety reporting tools. Violence has no place in our community, including on public transit. Individuals who believe that public transit can be used as an area to settle grievances through violent altercations are not welcome on our system. We will continue to work with our partners at CMPD, as well as our private security team, to ensure everyone rides appropriately on public transit. We will not compromise on the safety of our customers and employees. Good Lord. That's the best that you can come up with? We are disappointed that this verbal altercation took place? Anybody that says and anybody that thinks that you can settle a grievance on cats on the Charlotte light rail, you're not welcome on our system. I wonder if the three times illegally entered illegal migrant, I wonder if he cared about potentially being banned off of the Charlotte light rail system. I wonder if he cared that his actions were not welcome on Charlotte light rail. Probably not. I'm going to step out on a limb a little bit and say the guy who'd broken federal immigration law three times, the guy that was deported, came back into the country illegally while he was here, was a criminal, probably didn't really care whether Charlotte, the CAT system or the Charlotte light rail, whether they wanted him or not. Because, you know, again, he's a criminal. And it turns out, shocker, turns out criminals aren't really interested in following the law. Turns out criminals aren't really interested in following any sort of societal norms. Because, again, they're criminals. By definition, they're not following the law. That's why they're criminals. I mean, again, I don't think you have to be some criminology expert to wrap your head around this situation. It's just a joke. This is the best that they can do. Since August, we've taken proactive and robust approaches. Obviously not. Had you taken proactive and robust approaches, somebody would have been on that car Friday night. And there's a strong likelihood that this individual, who again is still in the hospital this morning, we don't know their status of their condition, probably would not have been stabbed. Probably. Not guaranteed, but probably wouldn't have been stabbed. Mark Harris, who is a congressman here across the state of North Carolina, represents part of the Charlotte metro area in Washington, D.C. He was on Fox News over the weekend talking about said issue. This is what Congressman Harris had to say.
It's just really unbelievable that we would find ourselves back here again just a couple of months after we went through the situation with Irina Zarutska. And it really is. It's something that grabs our attention and causes us to realize that something has got to be done and enough is enough. And I think that's really where we find ourselves, especially when you see the backstory to this. Of course, in Irina, we've had the backstory of a person that had been arrested 14 previous times and was walking the streets and able to pull off that crime. And here we find an individual, an illegal alien, that has been deported not once, but twice and arrested here in our country. And yet, still, we find our Democrat politicians that are complaining about our law enforcement, like Border Patrol and ICE, who are here to do their jobs. And it's just preposterous. And I'm grateful that there was a good Samaritan that was present in this situation to stand up and really fight. And I'm very grateful that for him.
So that's Mark Harris, Congressman Mark Harris on Fox News over the weekend. And, you know, he brings up something that I mentioned earlier that I want to end on. There was so much pearl clutching, so much nasty rhetoric from those on the political left once Customs and Border Protection, CBP, was conducting operations in Charlotte. I showed you the clips. You had Anderson Clayton, the head of the North Carolina Democrat Party, saying F you, spelling it out, F you to Gregory Bovino, who is the guy who was conducting the operations on behalf of Customs and Border Protection under the umbrella of DHS. That was the Democrat response here in North Carolina. Oh, you're enforcing federal immigration laws? F you. That was the response from those on the political left. We had to hear about how it was racist and how it was awful and it was equivalent to authoritarian leadership that we've seen throughout history in the United States. For weeks, we had to listen to this. Josh Stein, Vi Lyles, Anderson Clayton. Add tag every other freaking Democrat here in North Carolina. It was the same crap from every single one of them. Over and over and over again. That's what we had to hear. And now you've got a twice deported criminal illegal alien stabbing somebody on the Charlotte Light Rail on Friday. Gregory Bovino, of all people, Operation Ops at Large commander, commented on this situation on social media, quote tweeting Governor Josh Stein's ridiculous post, saying, "Governor, you made zero mention of the fact that the perpetrator was an illegal alien. The blood of the innocents is on you. We've shown you and told you for weeks now, yet you continue choosing illegal aliens over Ma and Pa Americans. How much more, Governor?" He said, "Governor," in his comments. How much more? We've shown you. We told you there was a problem. We brought it to your attention. And we were told that what Customs and Border Protection were doing was nothing more than racial profiling, and that they were stealing members of our community right off of our streets. What a freaking disaster. But unfortunately, in closing this morning, nothing is going to change. If Irina Zaruska's murder was not enough to reject Democrat politicians in Mecklenburg County and the city of Charlotte, which we just saw that election, like literally last month, if that wasn't enough to change the tide, and it wasn't, by Lyles handed victory, two Republicans running for Charlotte City Council both got obliterated in their election efforts. If that wasn't enough to push voters in the city of Charlotte over the edge, I don't think this makes any impact either. If the unbelievable amount of national and international attention that Irina's murder got just 3 months ago wasn't enough to push voters to saying, these policies need to change, these policies are no good for our city, these policies are not sustainable, then I come to you this morning with a message that nothing is going to change. It's going to have to get way worse, and I mean way worse, before it gets any better. If that wasn't enough to change the tide in Charlotte, folks, I'm not sure that anything is. And as long as Democrats in the city of Charlotte continue to elect Democrats in the city of Charlotte, then this is going to be the norm. You're not going to see an emphasis on public safety. You're not going to see an emphasis on holding criminals accountable. You'll get these pandering statements. You'll get these claims like Vi Lyles made that, oh, public safety is a priority. You'll hear Josh Stein come talk about how public safety is a top priority. They're just words. There's no action to back it up. There's none. And it's obvious based on the results. I mean, look at what's going on. Time and time and time again. And I put this out as a little bit of a warning to those in the city of Wilmington. Bringing it back home here to close out the show. This is why I said that individuals need to start showing up to every Wilmington City Council meeting and push back, because it will not be long. I don't say this again. I live here. I don't say this with any joy or glee. It will not be long before the city of Wilmington is in the exact same situation. You can take that to the bank. I don't know how quickly it will happen, but with unchecked Democrat control, we've seen this movie before. We know how it ends. It's not a surprise to me. It's not a surprise to you. Some comments coming in on our live channels this morning. Leslie says, "Wilmington is the next prize for the left. If Republicans sit at home eating their bonbons instead of going to the polls, we will be Charlotte 2.0. Yeah, I have nothing, and I've seen nothing that I would say to argue against that point, Leslie. Nothing. I mean, you're absolutely spot on. I hope I'm wrong, but just again, using what we've seen in other cities, looking at how all of this stuff continues to play out over and over again, I can't dispute your point at all. Another comment, CATS, that's the Charlotte Area Transportation System, is going to spend $30 million in the next 2 years to upgrade camera systems. It would probably cost less to have physical police presence and more effective than upgraded cameras. Of course it would be. But again, Democrats aren't really interested in solving the problem. They don't care. And I can just, I say that honestly this morning, they just don't care. If they did, I mean, honest to God, make this point one more time. If Democrats in the city of Charlotte cared about what happened with Irina Zarutska. They would demand that there be sworn law enforcement or private security on every single car as part of the light rail system. They would demand it if they care. But they have not, and they are not. And so here we are, less than 3 months later, in a very similar situation. Fortunately, as of right now, fingers crossed, that the individual that was stabbed was able to recover from those injuries, and it's not another death. But regardless, it's a situation that in large part is preventable. When you've got law enforcement, private security in an area, people tend to behave. It's, again, human nature. You're not going to do something unlawfully in most cases. You're not going to do something unlawfully right in front of law enforcement. I mean, if you're standing next to a cop, are you going to assault somebody? You going to punch somebody in the face? If you see a cop out in public and you're in close proximity to them, are you going to do something that is illegal? No, of course not. You'd be insane unless you're trying to get arrested. You would never. That's why the show of force is so important. That is why having both in uniform and plainclothes law enforcement out and about in cities, especially major metropolitan cities like Charlotte, that's why it's so important. But Democrats hate the police. Just turn the clocks back a couple of years. ACAB, BLM, defund law enforcement. Folks, this is not 100-year-old history. This stuff was happening less than 5 years ago. We were having these conversations at the national level. ACAB, defund the police. Just a couple of years ago, this stuff was happening right in front of our very eyes. So it's no surprise to me at all that Democrats in the city of Charlotte that have almost exclusive control and power are not bolstering up law enforcement. It's no surprise at all. They don't like the police. They hate the law. They hate law enforcement, plain and simple. It's a miserable, miserable situation. Because this happened on Friday, we did get some attention on this over the weekend, as we saw, heard from President Donald Trump, Governor Stein, and some other folks chimed in on it. But this individual, this twice deported illegal migrant in Oscar Solenzano Garcia, he is expected in court once again this morning. We'll see how that plays out. And now that we're into another full week of the news cycle, we'll likely learn some more in the coming days. And as soon as we do so, I'll pass it along to you right here on the Nick Craig Show. So unfortunately, not the way I wanted to start off a week, especially here as we're getting close to Christmas. But folks, you got to be willing to have these conversations. I mean, you've got to keep an eye on what's going on in cities like Charlotte. Because it's not long before the place you live, unfortunately, becomes the same progressive hellhole that they've created everywhere else across the country. Got to keep a vigilant eye on this 100% of the time. So we'll continue to track this story right here on the Nick Craig Show. That's going to do it for a Monday edition. Thanks to Melissa Gott and her team over at the Law Group in Wilmington for their continued support. Reach out to them. Visit them online, lawgroupnc.com. The Nick Craig Show streams weekday mornings, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and is available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for joining us. We're back here tomorrow morning for The Nick Craig Show.